at the subject of repent and believe. Repent and believe. And I'd like you to take your Bibles and go to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3. And what I would like to do is take a look at the scriptures regarding this subject and see if we can find a pattern in the scriptures that we can learn from and then apply to our lives. In Matthew 3, beginning in verse 1, we read, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea," verse 2, "and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Okay, so John was preaching, and what John preached was, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." John was preaching about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. They mean both the same thing. The word repent is the Greek word metanoeo. Metanoeo. Metanoeo means to change one's mind. To change one's mind for the better. See? That's what repent means. To change one's mind for the better. In other words, you don't let someone talk you out of being on the word for the worst. That's not repenting. That's sin. It's to heartily, from your heart, to amend what you've done with a disdain and dislike for your past sins. So there's a change. This word, metanoeo, is in the present tense, it's in the active voice, and it's in the imperative mood. And at times, depending on the construction of the Greek, the imperative move is a command. And it's an active voice. It's not passive. It's not something you think about and don't ever act upon. It's active. The Geneva Bible has a side note with regards to this word, metanoeo. It says the word in the Greek signifies a changing of our minds and hearts from evil to better. So it's a changing of our minds and hearts from evil to better. This was the message of John the Baptist. When he preached, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And I'd like you to take your Bibles and I'd like you to go to Matthew chapter 4. So during the time that John lived and the people that he ministered to, he spoke for God, and Jesus Christ said of John, "Of those born among women, there was not such a greater," right? So his message was, repent and believe, he said, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, we read, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at what? Hand." Again, it's metanoeo. Repent. Change your mind, change your heart, change your what? Actions. That's what Jesus was saying. He was telling people to repent. Now, why do you think John and why do you think Jesus were calling people to repent? And remember, one of the definitions for repent, according to the Geneva Bible, one of their notes was to change our minds from evil to what? Better. To good, to better. See, is a person in need of repentance if they are not a sinner? Yeah, no, there's no need for repentance, is there? There's no need to change your mind, change your heart, and change your actions if you're doing the will of God, if you have no sin in your life. However, if a person is a sinner or has sin, they are in need of repentance in that area of their life so they can correct that and get straight with God. Now, John the Baptist told people to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what he said. Jesus Christ told people to repent. He said the same thing, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So you know what that tells me? That tells me that John and Jesus both had to confront the evil in people's lives and let them know that they're doing something wrong. And then once they spoke and they brought to the individual's attention, you're doing something wrong, they said, why? Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, there's a coming kingdom, and you want to be there. You want to be in it. But in order to get to the place where you're going to be in it, you need to repent, because you're doing some things wrong. And if you continue in the lifestyle that you're living, you're going to miss the kingdom. Now, go to Mark chapter 1, please. That was John's message. It was also Jesus' message. In Mark chapter 1, looking now in verse 14, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of what? God. Jesus came and he was preaching the gospel. It's a gospel of the kingdom of God. And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the what? The gospel. What gospel did he ask them to believe? The gospel of what? The kingdom of God. That's what he was teaching. And so what he did was he confronted the people and he's saying, you need to repent and you need to believe the gospel that I'm preaching to you, that I'm teaching you. And we just read in the previous verse that he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now that's an interesting point. Because Jesus just didn't preach the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus said, you need to repent and you need to believe the gospel of the kingdom. You need to change your mind about things. You need to change your heart. You need to change your actions. And you need to believe the gospel of the kingdom. This was the gospel that John preached. This was the gospel that Jesus preached while he was alive here on earth. Now they got a hold of Jesus. You know the story. They killed him. But on the third day, God did what? He raised him from the dead. That's correct. Go to Acts chapter 1. Now I want to show you Jesus Christ in his resurrected body here on earth with some of his disciples. And what he's doing now, he's going to prepare them to take his ministry and what he taught them and to take the gospel to their time and generation, because he's going to ascend very soon. And in Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, we read, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Jesus was a show and tell kind of guy. He not only did it, he taught it. He did both. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles, whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of what? God. So when Jesus was in his resurrected form and he was with the people for 40 days, it says that he was speaking of the things that were pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now we know from the scriptures that this was the gospel that Jesus Christ spoke. We know from the scriptures that this was the gospel that John the Baptist spoke of, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. If you take your Bibles and go to Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 8 follows Acts chapter 2 that records Pentecost, the experience of Pentecost, the birth of the Christian church to which you and I now belong, the administration of grace, the great mystery, the great secret. And now, in Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 5, we read, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them." Preached Christ unto them. "And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did." Now, when I get into the depth of this in the months to come, I will show you that to preach Christ is to preach Messiah, and to preach Messiah is to preach about the King and the Kingdom. I'm going to show you how that word is exclusive to that, but we don't need it here for now. Verse 7 says, "For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before in the same city used sorcery. And he bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, This man is a great power of God. And to him they had regard, because of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Messiah, Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and what? Women. What was the gospel that Philip took to Samaria? It was the things concerning the what? Kingdom of God. In our day, in our time, in our administration, Philip took the gospel of the kingdom of God to Samaria. And when he preached this gospel, the people then, says they what? Believed. You know what that means? That means that they realized what Philip was teaching was accurate, that was true. They believed. And it says that they believed about that and the name of Jesus Christ, and they were baptized, both men and women. Both men and women believed. Philip preached this gospel of the kingdom. Acts chapter 28, please. In Acts chapter 28, again in our administration, verse 30, towards the end of the chapter, we read, "And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man what." For 2 whole years, he received anybody that wanted to learn, anybody who wanted to humble themselves. You want to know who wasn't there? The big shots, the Pharisees, the know-it-alls. They weren't there at Paul's house learning about the kingdom of God, because that was beneath them, you understand? Because they knew everything. But anybody who was humble and anybody who wanted to learn, that's where they were. And you know what Paul taught him? Preaching the kingdom of God. That's what he taught him. Philip preached the kingdom of God. Paul preached the kingdom of God. Go to James chapter 2, please. In James chapter 2, beginning in verse 5, we read, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and to be heirs of the kingdom which he had promised to them that loved him?" Did James know that there was a coming kingdom? And did James include that in his gospel, in his message? Yes, he did. James was aware of the kingdom. He knew it was a future kingdom, a coming kingdom, and he knew that the people would have an inheritance there, and he preached it. 2 Peter chapter 1, please. In 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 11, we read, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Did Peter understand about a future kingdom? And did Peter preach about a coming kingdom? Sure he did. Now go to Mark chapter 16. And I want to show you some instruction that Jesus Christ gave to his disciples and to his apostles. And here, this section of scripture is known by many as the Great Commission. And in Mark 16, in verse 15, we read, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now here, at the end of this chapter, Jesus Christ encourages his followers to go into the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. That's all it says. It just says, preach the gospel. Now those people had to know what he was talking about, because the next verse doesn't say, "What gospel are you talking about, Lord?" Because his followers, Peter even many times says, "What are you talking about? Has any man brought him a ham sandwich? What do you mean? Explain to us what the parable means." You will not find any of that in Mark 16. So when I say to you, please go over there and get me a drink, if I point to the bar, you know what you're going to bring me back? Water, because what's on the bar? Water. Now you see that, you know that. I don't have to explain to you, I want a bottle of Deer Park water. You see that. You have knowledge of that. That's why I can just say, could you go get me one of them off the bar? I could even say it that way, and you would go get me one. Jesus said, "Go ye unto all the world and preach the gospel." Well, now just what gospel do you think he was talking about? Now don't guess. I'm just asking you to think. That's a good thing for you to do. Think. What gospel do you think he was talking about? Well, Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 says, "Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness," etc. Matthew 24, 14 says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." This gospel of the kingdom. Mark chapter 1, verse 14 says, "And after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God." Verse 15 goes on and says, "And saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the" what? Gospel. Believe the gospel. Now, I can go on and go on and go on, but it's going to get redundant for you real quick. When Jesus said in Mark 16, verse 15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel," now just what gospel do you think he was talking about? He was talking about the gospel of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. You know why he was talking about that? Because that's all Jesus Christ did in his life. Now, when I say all, you know what I mean, right? He just didn't eat, drink, and sleep the gospel of the kingdom. He lived it, you know, he ministered, etc., etc. But that was his theme. That's why I'm sent, to preach the gospel, so the gospel, they can hear the gospel in other cities. That's what he said. So his disciples, his followers, knew what Jesus preached. His disciples, his followers, had understanding, had knowledge about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the future kingdom. He taught them many truths. He taught them many kingdom parables. He taught them many things about the kingdom in the Gospels. You can just look up the word kingdom and see how many times it appears in there. Kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. Okay? This is what Jesus taught them. It was not necessary for Jesus to come around in Mark 16, verse 15, and say, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel of the kingdom of God." You know why it wasn't necessary? Because anybody who was there or who read this in the early church automatically knew what gospel he was talking about. The gospel he was talking about was the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, the gospel of the kingdom of God. That was the gospel he was talking about. So he didn't have to go back. Now, why don't you tell me how it is that such a known, evident truth that Jesus didn't even have to say what type of gospel to preach in Mark 16, 15 was so, as a matter of fact, at that point in time, and today you talk to people about it and they don't even got a clue what the kingdom of God's all about. Why is that? Why is it that something that was common knowledge, like a cheeseburger and French fries, is today, back then, people don't have a clue about today? And I'll tell you why it is. Because somebody is working real hard to cover up the gospel. Someone is working real hard to remove the truths of the gospel so that the church today doesn't have knowledge of it, and the church today doesn't follow in the ministry of Jesus Christ and John the Baptist and Philip and Paul and Peter and James and all of the early first century church believers who said repent and believe the kingdom of the gospel, coupled with the added knowledge of our Savior now and the administration of grace. They didn't do it. Somebody has cloaked this information. Someone has pulled the wool over the eyes of Christianity for some reason. But it's not the Bible's fault. And it's not Jesus' fault. And it's not God's fault. It is our fault. Those who stand in the pulpits. It is the researcher's fault. It is the theologian's thoughts. The ones who fault. The ones who should know better. They are the ones that are at fault. I want you to go to John chapter 14 now, because I want to show you something very important. In John chapter 14, beginning in verse 23, this is what we read. Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me." All right, now what is those verses saying? If a man love me, he will keep my words. If the truth of the gospel is preached, then the truth of the gospel demands a response. What did Jesus say? If a man loves me, he'll do what? Keep my words. He preached, he spoke, he said, if a man loves me, he's going to do what? He's going to keep my words. He's going to do the word. He's going to be a good boy. Say it any way you want. Once, when the truth of the gospel is preached, the truth of the gospel demands a response. In other words, if you're going to believe the gospel, you need to respond to the gospel. And if you respond in a positive way, that's part of repenting. It's part of changing your mind from bad unto good, from evil unto better. You understand? Repentance is followed by loving obedience to the Lord. If a man love me, he'll do what? He'll keep my words. So if a man realizes he's doing something wrong, and someone says, repent and believe the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, well, what's that? Then you explain to him, and you say, look, the way you're living your life, you ain't going to make it. And it's not going to be a nice time in that day and time. And there's going to be a lot of bad things going on. And if I were you, I'd give a listen to what I got to say to you. Because you need to hear what I got to say. So you can make a decision whether you want to get on board or you want to stay here in the fire. Now that's repenting. You're confronting the individuals. But if you don't confront the individual with the truth of what the future holds, okay, you're not helping anybody. You're not helping anybody sometimes by just saying God loves you. That's true. God does love you. But you know what? They need to know the big picture. They need to know that at any time the plug can be pulled. They need to know what the future holds so that they can make a decision, hey, I don't want to go through that. I want this. And if we don't present it to them and say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, we're not helping people. Now, you want to say that's preaching hell, brimstone, fire, damn, that's not. Jesus, you want to say that about Jesus? You want to say that about Paul and Philip and John and the other disciples? Every single apostle, you're going to say that about? I'm going to show you that in a second. Can't do that. See, what's wrong with telling people the way it is? See, first of all, you got to have knowledge of what the future holds. Then once that knowledge is imparted to you, you are responsible for it. Now, what are you going to do about it? If you know the future holds Armageddon, and you know that most of the planet's population will be killed, and you know that the sea is going to turn to blood, and you know that man's eyes are going to melt in his sockets, and if you know all these other things, which I can get real graphic about, then you hold that information, and you need to let people know there's a kingdom, there's a way out of it, that salvation has come. But if you don't let them know the full story, why do I need salvation? Well, God can fix your life. He can fix your marriage. He can make more in the home. He can do this. Well, yeah, that's all wonderful, but that's just a good news gospel. That's not the truth of the gospel. That's a good news gospel. That's a here, take this pill. God's going to make everything better in your life. That's not why Jesus Christ came. That's not why God sent Jesus Christ. There's a coming kingdom. And the people in this day and time who are not born again, who are not saved, who are not redeemed, call it what you want, are not going to be part of that coming kingdom. You know what that means? They're going to be on the other side. Now, do you want to see them on the other side? See, that's their decision to make. You have to understand the urgency of the times. And because we haven't understood the kingdom of God and the corresponding consequences that lie in the future, we haven't had enough pepper in our butt to speak the truth of God's word to reach out and tell them the way it really is. Now, if someone thumbs their nose at you and says, I don't want it, well, God bless. But at least you did your best and you presented it in such a way that it was the truth. Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. It's coming. What kingdom? Well, let me tell you about it. Not God's making everything better in your life. God's going to get you a better job. God's going to fix your marriage. Is that true? I guess it's true. But that's not the message of the gospel. You can't read me that one time in the scriptures. And I'm not being like, you understand? I'm just telling you the truth. The truth is this. The devil's got an agenda. And he's hiding it from people. And unless Christianity wakes up and speaks the truth for the way it is, a lot of people are going to burn in the damn fire, and it's going to be too late to say something then. Because we get lulled to sleep in our, comfortable little places. That's the truth. Repentance is a change of mind. Repentance is a change of heart. Repentance is a change of lifestyle. Repentance is a change of mind, resulting in a change of heart, resulting in a change of lifestyle. That's the full circle. That's true repentance. If it doesn't full circle, it's not true repentance. True repentance is a change of mind. You think about it. You hear about it. And then you want to know what? After you consider it, you get it down here in your heart where it can really do some good in your life. And then once it's in your heart, you change your lifestyle. Now, what am I talking about? Okay, well, this is what I'm talking about. I used to drink every night of the week. And I started hearing the word. And I realized I got to repent. This is wrong. I got to change things. Because my preacher told me about this. And so I start thinking and thinking and thinking, oh, Jesus died for me. I really should obey my Lord. If I love him, I should do his word. Then I start getting it in my heart and I start feeling it. And you know what? Joe calls me up. Hey, we're going out and watch the game on Monday night. We'll meet you at the bar. No, sir. I'll watch it at home. You guys are welcome to come over. What did you do? You changed your lifestyle. It came full circle. That's repentance. It's not just hearing it. Oh, that feels good. That sounds good. Didn't that make me feel wonderful? And then go and then do nothing about it. Or just go and don't think about it. Let it stick in your heart like a barb that you can't pull out. And it keeps coming back in your ears over and over and over again. You know, one of the greatest things a preacher can hear is that, you know, I want to do this, but I heard your voice. That's good. Or your children say that to you, or whatever. I heard your voice. That's right. Better than that is to hear the voice of God. Hear the voice of Jesus. I wouldn't do that if I were you. You see, you repent. Then you think, you change your heart, and then it comes full circle. You change your what? Your lifestyle, you change your actions. That takes some time. Maybe you're not able to do what you're able to do this year, last year, or 6 months ago. Because you haven't come full circle yet. But when you grow, and when you're serious about the Lord, and when you love Jesus, you're going to do his word. You're going to change your lifestyle. Repentance is a change of mind, which results in a change of heart, which results in a change of lifestyle. Mark chapter 6, please. You didn't bargain for all this tonight, did you? Mark 6, verse 7. And he called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse. but be shod with sandals, and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, In what place soever you enter into a house, there abide till you depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that what? City. When's the day of judgment? I told you about the judgments a couple weeks ago. I taught you about it, right? It's in the future, right? Okay. And when they went out, verse 12, and preached that men should what? Repent. They preached that men should what? Repent. Do people respond to our gospel by repentance? That's my question. Do people respond to the gospel by repentance? Are people's lives being changed? Are people changing their minds, their hearts, their actions? That's what repentance is. When people believe, they'll repent and they'll change their mind, their heart, and their actions. Why do people need to repent? Because they're no good? No. Because they're sinners and they don't understand. And if you don't tell them where they're headed, look, if you've been down the road and you saw at the other side of the door, there's no floor, and you see somebody walking there, okay, is it a gospel of condemnation, hellfire, and brimstone to say, you go out there, you're going to die. You keep walking the path that you're going, there's nothing in store for you in the future but oblivion. Do you know that on the other side of that door is a pit and it's full of fire and there's no escape? See? That's saying repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The future, what lies in store in the future, is coming. You need to know about this so you can make an educated decision whether you want to continue walking down that path or you want to just give a listen here about the Lord Jesus. Second Corinthians chapter 5, please. See, we're confused on why God has commissioned and sent us. I think a lot of us are confused. 2 Corinthians 5, look at verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We are not sent to reconcile the world unto God. Listen to me again. We are not sent to reconcile the world unto God. Look at the verse. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto him what? Who does the reconciling in that verse? God in who?
Christ.
It's already accomplished. The reconciling was already accomplished in Christ. You understand? We're not sent to do that job. We are not sent to reconcile the world unto God. Christ already did it. God did it in Christ. Now look at verse 20. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So what are we doing? We are sent to preach the gospel and allow people to make a choice to accept the terms of the coming king and his kingdom. That's why we're sent. we're sent to preach the gospel and allow people to make their own free will decision if they want to accept the terms of the coming king and the kingdom. Christ, God, and Christ did the reconciling part. He already did the salvation part. He brought us back together. It was all done at Calvary. The reconciliation was done at Calvary. It's already done. Now it's available. You understand? Pentecost already came. Now it's what? Available. It already came. It already was done. Now it's available. Now he needs people, ambassadors, to go out and tell what Christ accomplished and what God accomplished in Christ, how he reconciled man back to him. And he needs people to make it available, the terms of the king and the coming kingdom, to people. And say to people, this is what the future holds in store for you. Would you like to be a part of it? Be reconciled back to God. It's not the act of reconciliation. It's holding forth the terms of what was already accomplished. Do you understand that? That's the truth. God did the reconciling in Christ. It says that in the verse 19. We just hold it forth. We say, this is what's available. Would you like it? But if you don't hold forth what's available, the coming kingdom, and you don't tell them, and if you don't choose it, this is what you got to look forward to, that's not a good decision. I think it says somewhere, I call on earth to record against, to record against you this day that I have laid before you the way of good and evil, truth and whatever, ever. And then he turns around and says, choose good, choose right, that you can live, you and your children. Okay, well, he laid before them both right and wrong. Right? It says a mature believer has his spiritual senses exercised both to discern good and what? Evil. There's two parts to the coin. But if you just want to hand them a fluff gospel, Jesus loves you, tell them why Jesus loves you. Tell them what he accomplished and tell them what's going to happen. And tell them what's going to happen to you if you ain't there. That's love. Look, listen, try and picture this for 1 minute now. Do you want to sit there on your chair and see your loved one get ready to get thrown into the lake of fire? What in the hell are you going to do at that point in your life if you have not warned them of the tragedy to come, the peril to come? How are you going to feel? So they're going to call you nuts. They're going to call you religious. They're going to call, you know what? It's your obligation. It's your duty to speak the truth in what? Love. That's love. Because at that point in time, you don't have a chance to hold forth the conditions of reconciliation of the king in the coming kingdom. It's already there. You understand? You see how you got to see the urgency of the time? You see how you can't get lulled to sleep? You can't allow the devil just to shut your eyes to the reality of what's really going on in this administration that we live in? We have to get awake. We have to be sober. We have to know the truth. And we have to present to them the truth. Not to scare them, to love them and say, look, this is reality. Luke chapter 14. Oh, how many times you've read this verse. Verse 31. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassador and desireth conditions of what? Of peace. King's informed guy, isn't he? The king sends out his spies. The king knows what he's got, how he's living his life, what he's able to accomplish in his life. But there's another king, and there's somebody coming, and he's far off yet. But the king has to make an educated decision now. He has to be informed what lies ahead. And when the king thinks about it, he says, "You want to know something? No one ever sat down and talked to me and said, there is no way in God's green creation that you can beat this guy. There is no way that you can stop what's going to happen in this guy who's afar off yet. There is no way you can stop his kingdom from coming here and dominating and destroying your kingdom. There's nothing in the world you can do. Do you understand me?" And so the king says like this, "Well, now that you put it that way, maybe I ought to send somebody and desire the conditions of what? Peace." But he first has to be informed. Do you understand? We are sent to preach peace through the coming king, the Prince of Peace. And this peace is on God's terms, not man's terms. The reconciliation, we are sent to preach peace. We are sent to say, "Hey, see that kingdom coming on? What kingdom? Well, let me tell you about it. This is what's going to happen. Now, you don't have to get squashed. You don't have to die. You don't have to get thrown in the lake of fire. Here is the terms of the coming king and the kingdom. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you and all your house. Confess him. Believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. Change your life. Live for God. Live for the Lord. You love him now. You got to get on board. You got to get yourself born again. You got to get yourself saved, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera." That gives them a chance. And if they say, "No way, I'll go against them," so be it. So be it. We announce the coming kingdom, and we invite people to accept the terms of the king and his kingdom. That's what we do. That's our job. We are to announce the coming kingdom, and we are to invite people, if they would like to accept the terms of the coming king and his kingdom. They don't want to accept them, that's fine. That's their business. But at least you got to make it available to them. No one can escape or defeat the coming kingdom. You realize that, don't you? Seriously, you must understand that. You must understand that no matter how technologically advanced this world gets, that when the day of the Lord comes and it says that the nations of this world and the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, you realize that no matter how technologically advanced we are, how biologically advanced we are, how nuclear advanced we are, all God's got to do is yawn and it's over, right? There's no escape. There's no way to defeat it. So it's not a tyrannical takeover where it's a dictatorship to the point that everybody's getting killed and the women are getting raped and all that stuff. No, it's you can avoid it. You can become part of the royal household of the coming king. You can become the child of the Most High King and of his father, the great king. You can become the brother or sister of the Prince of Peace. You can have an entrance into the kingdom, the eternal kingdom. You can live and rule and reign with Messiah here to start with for 1,000 years and then forever in the eternal or everlasting kingdom. the truth of the kingdom of God, the truths concerning the kingdom of heaven, have been stolen away from us. And the gospel we have presented to people, we've done the best we could with what we've had. But the gospel that John presented, that Jesus presented, that all the disciples presented, Philip, Peter, Paul, etc., James, etc., 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 was the gospel of the kingdom of God, the gospel of the coming kingdom, the future kingdom, and those things concerning that kingdom. We, first of all, have to regain and recapture the truths of that gospel. Then, once we regain and recapture them accurately, we have to teach people those truths. Then you are bound by love to share the conditions of the coming kingdom and the king with those people in the world. Make it available. The reconciliation is available now. It was accomplished in Christ. Our job is to make available to people the coming terms, the terms of surrender, if you would. Surrender to the Lord Jesus. I don't know if that's biblical, but sounds good. The terms of the coming king and his kingdom. He invites all in, all men, to be saved and come unto a knowledge of the truth. All are invited. Many, many, many will not respond. But make sure you tell them what they're saying no to. And if you witness the Word of God in light of what I'm teaching you, I'm going to tell you what. You're not going to hear a lot of this junk that you heard before when you talk about Jesus. You're going to see eyes get this big. You're going to say, where does it say that in the Bible? That the fish are going to die. That the sea is going to turn to blood. That this is going to happen. That this, because you know what? When people are faced with their mortality, they wake up real quick, don't they? What does man or woman do when the doctor says, you're going to die, you got such and such? Things change in a person's life. They see things in a different light, different perspective. Priorities all of a sudden just seem to out the window. Huh? I'm not telling you to scare people. I'm not saying that at all. I'm telling you to present the gospel of the kingdom the way John did and Jesus did and Paul did and Philip did and everybody else did. That's what I'm telling you. That's why we need to understand it. That's why we're going to learn about it, so that you can make a decision whether you want to present it or not. Okay? Let's pray. Father, thanks for your word. Thanks for bringing us along this far. And thank you for this upcoming year, Father, for all the great truths that we'll be learning with regards to your gospel, this subject, and that we could have the boldness and love to present it the way you would have it presented, Father, the way the first century church presented it. Thank you for each person around the country that hears this tape, Father, and the people that hear this word through them, that you bless them and work in their heart to bring them to repentance, Father, for truly it is your goodness that leadeth a man to repentance. Father, thank you for this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.